Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Tinajero. On today, we're talking about baby talk. Specifically, talking about the different ways that we talk to babies or toddlers. And I think all of us know, we've all probably done it at some point, even if you don't have kids. You see a baby or you see a toddler, and you change up the way that you are talking to them. And so before I made this episode, I reached out to some listeners, to some friends, family members, and asked them for examples of words that they use when they're talking to a baby or a toddler. And so some common ones, right, when we're talking about going to pee, we usually don't talk to kids like we talk to adults. Like, we don't say, oh, it's now time for you to go to the bathroom, right? We'll say, do you need to go pee-pee? Or another example was wee-wee or poo-poo or doo-doo or duty. One that I use a lot with my toddler is potty. So we say it's time to go potty, or he has this little kid's potty that has Elmo on it. So we say time to Elmo potty. Some other examples were when a kid gets hurt, right? We say things like a boo-boo, or do you have an ouchie? Or do you have, in Spanish, do you have a coco, which means like a bruise or a cut or something like that. Also, I got the example of when a kid maybe is misbehaving and you give them a little slap on the butt. Some people call it a pow-pow, or in Spanish, a nalgada. Also, some more examples for a dog, we might say doggy or wow-wow. And then a couple of body part examples, we might say instead of stomach, we'll say tummy, or for toes, we might say something that's kind of cute baby talk like toesies. Another example was for bottle. The example I got was baba, and another parent uses, instead of saying pajamas, they call them night-nights, which I'd never heard, which I think is pretty cute. Playtime is called play plays. And then another one that I thought was funny, and it kind of gets to the point how different parents or people within a specific what's called a discourse community or a specific rhetorical situation might come up with their own playful words. And so this parent, when they were starting to breastfeed, they needed to, you know, they were kind of teaching the baby that it was time for them to open their mouth wide to breastfeed. And so they say big ol', which means like open your mouth really wide and big, because it's breastfeeding time, so it's kind of a cue for that. Something else that we do with kids is we tend to give them cute little nicknames. For my two-year-old, I don't even know how this started, but I started calling him Booger a lot, and I also call him Buddy. I don't know where the booger came from, but a lot of times I'll say, oh, come here, booger, or good morning, booger. And as he's gotten a little older, I start calling him, his name, his full name is Roberto, but it sounded weird to call a baby or toddler Roberto or Robert, and so we've started using Robert, but his first nickname was Roddles. He started calling himself Robbie. So we have these different ways of calling him Buddy, Booger, Roddles, Robbie. Sometimes we'll say Robert. Sometimes I remind him his full name is Roberto. And we also use little names like, some people will use little man, or king, or prince, or princess, or sweetie, or angel. There could be a whole discussion on the types of nicknames that we use for little boys as opposed to little girls, and you might want to think about which names, if you have kids, you've used for your own kids. And I certainly want you to think about examples of little words or phrases that you use when you talk to toddlers and babies, whether they're your own or nieces or nephews, or just, you know, a kid you come into contact with. maybe a coworker's kid or something like that, and just be aware of how you're talking to them. And it's not always just the words, but a lot of times it's the body language, it's the tone, the syntax, all of that is part of it. And so what I want to talk about next is an article that I came across. This is by Lawrence Kuttner, PhD. And Lawrence Kuttner is a nationally known clinical psychologist who teaches at Harvard Medical School, where he's co-founder and co-director of the Harvard Medical School Center for Mental Health and Media. And so he wrote this article, you can find it on psychcentral.com, called The Purpose of Baby Talk. And he makes some interesting points here, so I'm just going to read for a couple of minutes directly from the article. And so he writes, "You've probably noticed how adults often talk differently to babies than to other adults. They raise the pitch of their voices and do other things we would consider inappropriate or even insulting in normal adult conversation." And let me stop there for a second. It is interesting. I never thought about that, but it's kind of obvious, right? We won't talk to adults the same way we would talk to baby or toddler because it would be insulting. And sometimes we might do it with a friend or family member as kind of a joke, but we would never do that in a professional situation because from the syntax, from the discourse, from the way we're saying the words and the words we're using, that isn't appropriate, right, for adults or for professional situations, and that could be or would be insulting to somebody. And so he continues in the article, "We generally refer to this shift in tone, syntax, and attitude as baby talk. It's something that we expect in that particular interaction, so much so that an adult who approaches a newborn with a serious demeanor and says, hello, it's good to see you again, how was your day, would be regarded as insensitive to children. Yet, these words have no less meaning to the baby than a more socially acceptable statement like, oh, what a cute little tummy you have." And then he continues in the article, "What's going on when we engage in baby talk is more than cute or simple speech. There's a clear but complex pattern that includes not only a higher than normal pitch, but a greater range of tones which reinforce the emotional content of the message. We also drag out certain words for emphasis. So for example, we might say, oh, you're such a good girl. Or we might say, you finished your whole bottle. We also tend to speak more slowly with simpler grammar and with clear enunciation, much as we might when talking to an adult who isn't fluent in our language." And so that's something that I thought was interesting that I kind of know I do, but, you know, I'd never really read about this topic. And we do tend to elongate certain words when we're talking to kids, and I know I certainly have done that. And so the article continues, "Parents of babies and even toddlers often verbalize both sides of their conversation, either implicitly or explicitly. So they might tell a child, would you like some mashed banana? Oh, you would? Well, I'll get you some, right? And we really don't tend to do that with adults. We also may be inordinately descriptive, assigning names to objects, emotions, and status, often doing so with a good deal of repetition. So we might tell the kid, that's your teddy bear. He's a big teddy bear, a brown teddy bear. My, you sound cranky today. Didn't you get enough sleep? Or you might say, let me put on your diaper. First this side, then the other side. Now it's all done. And so that's certainly something that I have tried to do with my toddler, is kind of explicitly naming the details of what's going on. And I wouldn't do that with an adult. And part of this, I just kind of indirectly learned by hearing other parents talk to their children. But then, like a lot of parents, I read some parenting books, and to help your child learn, help them grow their vocabulary, as parents you should try naming the details of situations, right? And so when, you know, I'm making them breakfast, I might name everything I'm making. I might explain what it smells like, or I might explain that the spoon feels smooth. I might tell them the color of the plate I'm putting the food on, or the size of the plate, right? And so all of that is helping them increase their vocabulary. And so in the article, the doctor continues by saying, there appear to be clear reasons for and benefits from these utterances. A higher-pitched voice seems more attractive to babies, slowing down the speed, simplifying grammar and syntax, naming objects and emotions, describing status, and modeling conversations all make it easier for a child to puzzle through what language is all about. Similarly, using a child's name instead of a pronoun, like that's Debbie's rattle instead of that's your rattle, probably helps a child understand and learn their name. But one of the most surprising aspects of baby talk is the way we use diminutives and other special words with babies that we don't use with adults. For example, when my son was very young and I found myself saying doggy and puppy to him instead of dog, and referring to our two cats as kitties, if anything, doggy, puppy, and kitty are more complex words than dog and cat. Several times I caught myself referring to one of our cats, whose name is Zabar, after one of my favorite stores in Manhattan, as Zabar Kitty, which is both conceptually and phonetically much more complex than necessary. So that is kind of interesting, because saying the word dog is a kind of more simple word, or saying cat, but saying doggy or kitty, right, that's a longer word, and so it's interesting that we change it up like that, even when there's kind of a shorter, simpler word for the child. And so the article continues, I've heard many parents do the same thing, substituting tummy for stomach, or saying choo-choo train instead of simply train. We'd never expect an adult to complain of a tummy ache, or a commuter to talk about taking the 8 o'clock choo-choo train. Why do we use words like that with children? By using more complex words, it's almost as if we want to make language more difficult for them to acquire. But one compelling theory is that we talk to babies this way not so much for their sake, but for our own. By shifting our patterns of speech, we are acknowledging our special relationship with babies. The real purpose and benefit of baby talk is to bolster the social interaction between parent and child. Shifting our style of speech forces us to pay more attention to what we say and therefore to the person we're talking to. The topic and details of the conversation don't matter as much. It's the emotions and the extra attention that convey the most important message. And so that, I think, was really interesting. Something I certainly had not thought about is maybe the way we're talking to the baby or the toddler using these cute words and descriptors and kind of inside jokes or inside words with them is creating this special connection with them. And so on one hand, we are teaching them, you know, kind of how humans converse. We're also expanding their vocabulary, but by using these cute words, on some level, we're kind of creating this special conversation, this special relationship, this special kind of rhetorical situation with the baby or toddler. And so, once again, if you want to look up that article or more work by Lawrence Kuttner, PhD, this article was called The Purpose of Baby Talk from PsychCentral.com. So that's today's episode. As always, I encourage my listeners to interact with the podcast on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please share the episode with your friends, family. Share it on your social media if you thought it was interesting. Appreciate those of you that continue to listen to the podcast. And think about the ways that you yourself use baby talk in your life or those around you, and you can start thinking about the complexities of what's going on there with baby talk. Have a great day.